Let us once again sing praise to God, and now we turn to Psalm number 119, and we sing the very first part of this Psalm, part 1A. Psalm 119, part 1A, on page 292 in our Psalters. We use the tune Trust, number 270. Stanza 3 of the opening part of this psalm speaks of God's judgments being full of righteousness. Not only are they true, but the counsel they give is always righteous. The psalmist says, "To you I will give thanks and praise out of a heart of uprightness, when I your judgments all do learn, for they are full of righteousness." And the fact that God's judgments, or his word, is full of righteousness is why the psalmist is able to begin this psalm with the words, "How blessed are those whose way is pure, for in the Lord's law they do walk. Blessed who his testimonies keep, and who with their whole heart him seek." Because God's word is righteous, those who live according to his word will know blessing in their lives. Psalm 119, part 1A, let us once again stand as we sing praise to God. Seated. Let us turn in God's word to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. And the verse we are taking for our text today is verse 6 of this fifth chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, where the Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Cambridge English Dictionary defines righteousness as morally correct behavior, or a feeling that you are behaving in a morally correct way. And according to that definition, righteousness comes down to human feelings. And that being the case, you could justify almost any kind of conduct as being righteous. Righteousness, as far as the world is concerned, is not a fixed entity. It amounts to whatever is or becomes culturally acceptable in any given generation. Consequently, what we have today in society is conduct that many consider to be totally acceptable and quite innocent, but it is conduct the Bible describes as sinful, even wicked, and most certainly not righteous. In some parts of the world where a non-Christian religion is dominant, killing people who don't agree with your religion is felt by some to be a righteous act. So when Christ speaks about righteousness in this beatitude, he is speaking about righteousness that is in accordance with God's word. The Bible's definition of righteousness is very different from the world's. The source of true righteousness is God himself. He is righteous, and he has declared what thoughts and words and deeds constitute righteousness, and what thoughts, words, and deeds constitute wickedness. God is the standard. His word is the standard of what righteousness is. And his word tells us that there are certain virtues that are righteous, and there are other vices that are wickedness. Certain virtues such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and so on. These are virtues which are righteous. And then there are certain vices, such as murder, drunkenness, hatred, jealousy, envy, adultery, fornication, idolatry, outbursts of wrath, and so on, and such things, the Bible says, are wickedness. Very especially, righteousness is tied up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. His gospel is the gospel of righteousness. To believe the gospel is righteous. To not believe it is sinful. Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 that in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed. So having established what Christ means by righteousness in this verse, we want to develop what he's saying further in this verse. And we're going to think of just two aspects of this beatitude. First of all, we want to think about the identity of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Christ says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that righteousness which I have defined." And secondly, we're going to think about what Jesus means by his statement that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. What does he mean by that? Well, regarding the identity of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, let's consider, first of all, the people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. the people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Since the source of true righteousness is God, who is Spirit, righteousness itself is a spiritual characteristic. To hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus simply means to desire or to crave for righteousness. The righteousness that we find in Scripture, the righteousness that God is, the righteousness that God commands. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness is to desire, to crave for that kind of righteousness. And since it is spiritual, it is only the person who is spiritual who will be able to hunger and thirst for that righteousness. Imagine a professional cook who has prepared the most sumptuous dinner for a room full of very hungry people. And the aroma of the food fills the whole room. And everyone around the table in the room is salivating at the mouth as the aroma of the delicious dinner fills the air. They can't wait to get at the food. And the dinner is served and everyone tucks in. Now imagine also that in one corner of this same room, there is a coffin. And there's a dead man lying in that coffin. He doesn't smell the delicious meal. And if you were to prop up the body of that dead man and put a plate of that most delicious dinner under his chin, he wouldn't have the slightest desire for it. Why? Because he's dead. The aroma of that dinner fills the room so that everyone who is alive in the room starts to feel hungry and wants to eat the meal, but there's no such desire from the dead man. Being dead, he has no hunger for that food. And in the same way, a spiritually dead person has no hunger and no thirst for this righteousness of which Christ is speaking. And when you think of the world out there and the practices of the world, and you wonder, well, why isn't it the case that they don't see that what God offers and the righteousness he speaks about is the best for them? Why do they not desire it? That is the reason why. The world is spiritually dead, with no desire for the good food that God offers. Or think of another situation. A healthy baby is born. And what is the first and greatest desire of that healthy baby? Very soon after it comes into the world, it hungers and thirsts for its mother's milk. Just as hungering and thirsting for milk are the immediate consequences of new physical life, so too hungering and thirsting for the spiritual food of righteousness are the immediate consequences of new spiritual life. Without spiritual life, there will be no appetite, no desire for righteousness. With spiritual life, there will be. Some of you here will remember a time when you had no appetite for the Bible, for church, for listening to preaching, for reading Christian literature. You had no desire to pray. You had no interest in Jesus Christ, no interest in the gospel. The thought of reading the Bible was entirely uninteresting. and cumbersome to even contemplate. Going to church and some of these other things was just some kind of ritual you performed week after week. You had no appetite for any of this. But then there came a day when all this changed, and you began to hunger and thirst for righteous things. Suddenly, you had a hunger and you had a thirst for God's word. You looked forward to the preaching of God's word. You wanted to know more about Jesus Christ and his gospel. You wanted to know what the Bible teaches about God, about forgiveness of sins, about salvation, and so on. You wanted to talk to God. You wanted to talk to other people about God. How did this change come about? It came about by the Holy Spirit of God enlightening your soul. Your soul, which was once dead, became alive. Your soul, which was dark, received light, the light of the gospel. It happened as you came under conviction of sin. It may have been that in a moment through a sermon or in the reading of scripture or a Christian book or through something someone said to you, you realized as you'd never realized before that sin is a most terrible thing. And even worse, you realized that you are a sinner and that you had offended God by your sins, and you were under God's condemnation. You came under conviction of sin, and you were greatly troubled, and then God, by his Spirit, led you to the remedy of your problem. He revealed to you a way of escape from the terrible and eternal consequences of your sins. He revealed to you the gospel of grace, and you believed it, and you still believe it. You became a new creature in Christ. You confessed your sins. You repented of them. You became a very different person, someone who is spiritually alive. And ever since, you have hungered and you have thirsted for righteousness and for the gospel of righteousness. But maybe for someone here, none of this has yet happened to you. And you don't hunger and you don't thirst for this righteousness that Christ is speaking about. Like the physically dead corpse, you are spiritually dead. And in that condition, you can't hunger and you can't thirst for righteousness, not this righteousness that Christ is speaking about. And that may not even concern you in the slightest. But there is a very good reason why it should concern you, because the inference from this verse is that it is only those who hunger and thirst for righteousness who are blessed. Those who do not hunger and thirst for the righteousness that is in the gospel are not blessed, and in the long term, and by long term I mean eternity, shall not be blessed. And that brings us to the second truth that we're going to consider from this verse. From the people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, we consider, secondly, the promise to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The promise to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. The promise isn't that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are made right with God by their good deeds. You can't earn salvation by pursuing righteousness. Good works cannot justify anyone, cannot make a person right with God. As far as the Christian's salvation is concerned, the righteousness they possess is imputed to them. It is an imputed righteousness. That is, it is a righteousness that is credited to their account by Christ. It is His righteousness they are clothed in. But just as it's impossible for good deeds, good works to justify anyone, it is just as impossible for a person who is justified by God to live without doing good works. Good works are the fruit. Righteous deeds, righteous living is the evidence that a person has been justified by God through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The promise is that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Filled in the sense of being satisfied. Now, there is such a thing as eating and drinking until you're full, but you're not satisfied. A child might eat chocolate and drink fizzy drink until he's full, but it's not very satisfying for his stomach, and he might just vomit it all up. In the same way, a sinner may take their fill of sin, but it's not a very good filling. And they might even call that sin righteousness. This is goodness. This is the way to live. This is life. Let me fill myself with these thoughts, these deeds. But it's not a good filling. And it is far from satisfying. May be satisfying at the time. Like eating the chocolate, there may be a temporary satisfaction in sin. It tastes good at the time of eating, but it leaves the eater feeling sick when the stomach is full of it. So the sinner can have pleasure in sin while committing it, but when they've had their fill of it, they are far from satisfied, and no good comes out of it. There is guilt. There is maybe fear. There is grief. There is doubt. There is hurt to themselves and maybe hurt to others. Those are the fruits of the righteousness of this world, which is no righteousness at all. But how different if you hunger and thirst for this righteousness that Christ is speaking about. In that there is both filling and there is satisfaction. If you eat a wholesome dinner of good meat, potatoes and vegetables, as I suspect most of you will when you go home, and you wash it down with a healthy cool drink, your stomach isn't only filled, it is also satisfied. You feel satisfied. And so too in hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Instead of guilt, there's a clear conscience. and the place of fear, there is peace. Instead of grief, there is joy. Instead of doubt, there's assurance of salvation. And in the place of hurt to self and hurt to others, there is wholeness and there is harmony. And all of this is great blessing in this life, in the midst of a corrupt and wicked world. This is the blessing of the believer in their own little world, if you like. It can be a life of great satisfaction and blessing when everything else is blocked out. What motivation this is for hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Although it is true that in this life we can never be fully satisfied, our hunger and thirst is satisfied in this world to the extent that we do keep hungering and thirsting for this righteousness Christ speaks of in this beatitude. But there is also a future aspect to this blessing beyond this life. Christ uses a future tense. They shall be filled. When the Christian awakes out of the sleep of death, then they will be fully satisfied. Satisfied in a way that satisfaction will never, ever again be interrupted by a world of sin. Then the believer's soul will be filled to the brim, satisfied to the full. There will no longer be any need to hunger and thirst for righteousness, because righteousness at that moment will no longer be something that is to be grasped. As the Shorter Catechism puts it, the souls of believers at their death are made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory. They're made perfect in holiness. Holiness no longer is something to be searched for, to be grasped. It's there. It's 100% there. How different it will be for the unbeliever at that point, who never hungered and thirsted for righteousness in this life. In that life beyond the grave, there will be no filling. There will be no satisfaction, only a lamentable condition of dissatisfaction, sorrow and pain, and a place where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Ages without end, with no blessing, only a curse. That's the lot. That is the end for those who do not listen to this beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So for anyone who hasn't begun to hunger and thirst for righteousness, this righteousness of which Christ speaks, I hope that by what you've heard in this message, you will begin today. You need this righteousness. This righteousness isn't just about doing good things. The Lord Jesus Christ is the embodiment of righteousness. Isaiah, in his prophecy about Christ, says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11, "By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many." Isaiah calls Jesus righteous. He is himself the embodiment of righteousness. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So in the broader sense, the righteousness in this beatitude refers to Christ himself. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Christ, for they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. The things of this world are temporal. They are fleeting. They can't fill or satisfy your deepest needs, the needs of your soul. Christ can, because he is eternal. And if while you have lived in this world, you have hungered and thirsted after him, he will still be there when everything in this world is gone. He will be there for you, and your soul will be fully satisfied. The psalmist could say, "At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." But could it be there's someone who hasn't a real, a genuine interest in Christ? You need to hunger and thirst for him. And you need to begin by seeking him. If you seek him, you will be blessed, because God says, "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's God's promise to those who seek Christ. If you seek Christ, you'll find him. God will come to you. His Holy Spirit will work in you, will convict you, will change you, will give you desire for this righteousness. And you will become a spiritual person. And then all of this will be true for you. Begin your search for him. Hunger and thirst for his righteousness, and you too will be blessed. Blessed in this life, and blessed with eternal life. Blessed so richly that words can't begin to describe the extent of that blessing. Hunger and thirst for this righteousness, and you shall be filled. Amen. Well, as we come to the close of our worship service, let us once again sing praise to God. And we turn to Psalm 107, and we sing stanzas 6 to 10 of the psalm, beginning on page 265. Psalm 107, stanzas 6 to 10. We use the tune Grafenberg, number 94. Look at what the psalmist says in stanza 6. "For he, the soul that thirsty is, does fully satisfy with what is good the hungry soul, he fills abundantly." How wonderfully that ties in with what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 5. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Psalm 107, stanzas 6 to 10. Let us stand as we sing these words in praise to God.
Shade did reach. because against the words of God they in rebellion turned. The counsel of the One Most High they thus despised and spurned. Their heart He humbled then with toil. They fell, but no help came. The Lord them saved from their distress when they called on His name. He out of darkness brought them, and them from death's shade did take. The chains with which they had been bound apart He then did break.
Let us pray. Lord, our God, our Father in heaven, we thank You that You have not left people in this world in a condition in which they have no hope. There is great hope because You sent Your Son into this world to make provision for people, to give them the righteousness they need, a righteousness that is something set apart from them, but can be credited to their account. And all they need to do is to believe in Christ and to surrender their life to Him. And in doing so, forsake their sin, repenting of it, and hungering and thirsting for the righteousness that is in Christ and in His gospel. Lord our God, may You give each one this grace to see the need for hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We realize, Lord God, that this is the fruit of those who are spiritually alive, that they want to be more like Christ, to please Him. They're not justified through their good deeds, through practicing what is right and turning away from what is wrong, but that is the evidence. That righteousness they pursue and practice is the evidence that they are indeed justified through faith. So, Lord, give us each one grace to love You and to serve You all our days, to know Your power and grace in our hearts and lives. And now, may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be a portion to each of you in abundant measure, this day and always. Amen.